It's not much work to fixate on disaster right now. We're in a literal pandemic. It can be scary, but our guest is here to remind us, to remind kids, that people make it through these difficult times. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, in for Kate Archer Kent. Pompeii, the Great Chicago Fire, World War II. Lauren Tarshis writes about hardships and the kids who lived through them in the I Survived series for elementary school kids and for the reader Young at Heart. And you're part of our conversation with Lauren. Kids, we want to hear from you this hour. What are your questions about natural disasters or tragedies throughout history? Have you read the I Survived series? What is your favorite? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR Mornings. Lauren joins us to talk about how the most difficult times throughout history happened and why kids from hundreds and thousands of years ago weren't so different from kids today. Lauren, thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network.
Hi, Keely. It's wonderful to be here, and hi to all of my Wisconsin friends and readers and family who are also living in Milwaukee right now. So I'm
all right. You got some family here, huh?
Yes, I do. And I'm fully decked out in my Badger outfit in honor of you all.
Wow, you came prepared this morning. I like it. Thanks for the Wisconsin shout outs there. You've written 20 books for your I Survived series. They're about kids surviving crazy disasters throughout history. What made you realize you were interested in learning about these tragedies and then sharing them in this very specific way?
You know, I think what interests me most, Keely, is not so much the events themselves, you know, whether it's World War II or the Revolutionary War or the San Francisco earthquake. What really interests me are the stories of the real people who experience those, and learning about how, you know, what it takes for people to move through these events and move forward. And that's what's kept me writing all of, you know, for 10 years now and just finishing my 20th book.
Well, you have to do a ton of research when you're writing these books so that you get the history right. We have a listener who wants to know how you do it. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Celeste. I'm 10 years old. And this year in fourth grade, my teacher gave me an assignment to write a historical fiction story. And I was wondering how you do your research and if there are any research platforms you recommend.
All right. Where should Celeste start?
Excellent, Celeste. Well, there's what's really great for historians today like you is that there are so many sources. I try to travel to places that I write about, but if you can't do that, you can explore them through video. I read as many books as possible, magazine articles. I interview experts. There are so many people. That's one of the really cool things about my job is I get to talk to people who have spent their entire lives studying, you know, the science of a tornado or volcanoes or a certain battlefield during the Civil War. So don't be shy about trying to track down people. In Wisconsin, you have so many amazing scientists and historians through your, you know, University of Wisconsin. So what I try to do is as much research as I can through as many sources as I can, because I'm always looking out not only for the facts and the dates, but I also want the real stories of people. So also trying to track down people through their letters or their diaries, so you can really try to put yourselves in the shoes of the people who went through the events.
And then once you have that information, though, you have the real information, and then you start to build a made-up story. How do you make them fit together?
That's definitely the hardest part, Keely. I think so. After I do my research, which usually takes a few months, then I have to begin to create a fictional character, because as the readers know, these books are historical fiction. So all of the facts are true. All of the facts are based on research and experts. But then I make up a fictional character. And the fictional character, though, their experiences and feelings and reactions and observations are very often inspired by the real people that I read about or sometimes meet if it's a modern event. So weaving those together is definitely the hardest part. And for kids who have read the books, it's never just that a kid like, oh, I was in a tornado, now I'm going to move on. you know, the kids grow and change through going through these events. And so that's, for me, the most interesting and challenging part. What do we learn about going through something? How do we become closer to our friends or our families? How do we change inside? So putting all those things together, Keely, is definitely the most challenging part of the books, and why I usually will write 20 or 30 drafts of every one of the I Survive books before I feel as though it's ready for the readers.
Wow. We're talking with Lauren Tarshis, author of the I Survived series of books about disasters through history. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Kids, what do you think? Do you feel like you could survive a natural disaster like a tornado or an earthquake? What do you think it takes to make it through? Or maybe you have survived something really scary. You can tell us your story. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We have another listener who's wondering how you decide which of those historical events you want to write about, Lauren, and everything else. Here's Alexa.
Hi, this is Alexa, and I read almost every book of I Survived in my school library. My question is, how do you figure out what place, time, event, and setting to do?
Place, time, event, setting. How do you decide, Lauren?
Great question, Alexa. I am so lucky because I get hundreds of emails from kids, my readers, and they tell me what they're interested about in. So I have been able to really shape the series around what kids are curious about. So I so appreciate all of the great letters and emails I get. And sometimes kids, you know what I have to say, it was a child from Wisconsin who gave me a tip for one of the true stories that I've written about in one of the I Survived True Story collections, and that is the Peshtigo Fire. Now, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it in the Wisconsin way.
You're safe. Go ahead.
Okay, but the Peshtigo Fire, of course, was the largest and most devastating wildfire in the history of America, and it happened the same night as the Great Chicago Fire. So I would never have known that. I would never have known about that event if it hadn't been for an email from a reader.
And are you surprised when you're doing the research for this and you're trying to pick that place or time or event or setting? And is there something that kind of clicks for you that makes you think this would be really great because I want to showcase it?
That's a great question, too. I think what I ask myself as I'm considering topics, they're all very fascinating. They're all very dramatic, you know, any of these events. But what I ask myself is, did it change history in any way? Did it change our ideas about things? Did it change the way we even something that people haven't heard of, usually, like the Night of the Grizzlies, which happened in 1967 in Glacier National Park. It was this really scary event of these two bear attacks that happened in Glacier Park. And when you just first hear about it, you might think, well, that's just something terrible and gruesome. But those two, that one night in 1967, totally transformed all the rules in national parks to make them safer for bears and humans. So even today, all these years later, when you go to Yellowstone or Glacier or any large park where you might find bears or large animals, the rules that are in place are there because of this event that happened in 1967. So in readers, you guys can ask yourself that too when you're reading about history, an article or one of my books. You can ask yourself, how did this affect the world that I'm living in now? And I always think that's a fascinating question to ask when you're reading about history.
Lauren Tarshis writes about disasters from the perspective of kids who make heroic decisions and survive. And you're part of our conversation. Do you ever talk to your parents or grandparents' kids about the things that they survived? What have you heard them tell you? Maybe you want to write books when you grow up. What are your questions for the person who's written the I Survived series? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Keely Voltina, and we continue this hour with a conversation with Lauren Tarshis just ahead on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Voltina, and today on The Morning Show, we're talking with a guest who spends a lot of time thinking about some terrifying things. Shark attacks, war, volcanoes erupting and spewing searing hot ash everywhere. Lauren Tarshis takes a really awful thing that actually happened, and she writes about it from the perspective of a kid who lived through it, who made it out of the crisis. And you can talk with Lauren this morning right now. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're especially looking for kids this hour. What are your questions about wars or tragedies that you have heard happened in history? What do you want to know? And what ideas do you have maybe for Lauren's next book? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. And we have Cecia from Wanakee on the line now. Hi, Cecia.
Hi, Lauren. My name is Sophia. I love your books. I want to be an author as well. I have a question. How did you know that you wanted to be an author?
Hi, Cecia. You know, I have to tell you guys that I did not have any idea that I could possibly be an author when I was your age. I had some reading struggles. I was not a good student. It wasn't until I was really in high school that I started to read books. So the idea that I could, you know, that one day I'd be grown up and talking to all you amazing readers would have seemed just absolutely, you know, wildly out of the realm of possibility. But what I think is really what I always want kids to understand when they might be thinking about wanting to be a writer is I don't really think that writing is a talent that you're born with. I certainly wasn't born with any talent. It's really like a sport that you might do if you play baseball or basketball or cooking or dance or playing, even like building Lego robots. It's something that if you want to do and you practice and you share your stories with your friends and teachers and get feedback, you will get better at it. And that was really my experience as an author. My first novel, if I read you a chapter of it right now, you guys would all turn off your radios and computers and maybe run out of the room. But you get better with time. So, Cecia, I'm sure you're already well on your way, but just stick with it and know that even the stories that you write that you don't love, those are part of your journey of getting better. And you'll be proud of those when you look back.
Oh, Cecia, thank you so much for giving us a call this morning and asking Lauren that great question. If you have a question for Lauren, who's written the I Survived series, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Lauren, some of the books you've written are not quite history. There are some modern day disasters in there, like the Japanese tsunami in 2011, Hurricane Katrina, it was 2005. Even the attacks on September 11th, 2001, when you have such, I guess, more current material, are you able to talk with people who actually survived these events?
Yes, definitely. And it's it's interesting, Keely. When I first had the idea for the series, I never thought that I would write about anything modern. The idea was to write about things that happened a long time ago and that I would be relying on research, you know, and historical societies and letters and diaries. But what happened was, as I told you earlier, as I started writing the series, I started getting so many emails from kids and parents and teachers too. And the first bunch of letters that I got really focused on kids wanting to read about more modern events like Hurricane Katrina and like September 11th especially. And at first I wasn't sure about that because just it wasn't really a part of my plan for this series. But then I started to understand that people who have gone through difficult events, many times they want to share their stories. They want people around the country to know what they went through and hear how they were managed to rebuild their city in a place like Joplin, Missouri that experienced a tornado in 2011 or, as you mentioned, Hurricane Katrina. And so when I write about a modern event, it's a very different experience. I always go to the place that I write about. I always listen to a lot of stories. My 20th book, which I just finished, is about the California wildfires. And that really came about because of letters that I received from people who had been through these terrible fires, especially in 2018. Families from Paradise, California, the city that was really, completely burned to the ground in November of 2018, and being invited to come and listen. So those are always the most special experiences for me, and I always feel very honored and, you know, to be entrusted with stories. And I think that people who have gone through things sometimes feel a bit comforted knowing that other people know what they went through and are thinking about them.
We're talking with Lauren Tarshis, who is the author of the I Survived series of books about disasters throughout history. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Special shout outs here to kids wondering if you feel like you could survive a natural disaster, or maybe you have experienced something like a tornado or an earthquake. What do you want people to know about it? 800-642-1234. Wayne from Green Bay is on the line. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm sorry I'm not younger to talk to you.
What do you want to know today, Wayne?
My daughter is a 10-year-old, and I work at the hospital, and she's sick, so we haven't been seeing each other for just over 2 months, and she's staying with her mother. And we do the FaceTime thing every night, and just about a week ago, I encouraged her to start. Well, actually, I'm doing it with her. I'm journaling in my journal, and she's journaling in hers. And she just started doing it. Today's the fifth day, I guess. And what would do you have any ideas on what we might write about? We were writing about how they're eating, what she's doing during the day, and that. But do you have any ideas that might make it a little more exciting for her?
Oh, Wayne, how interesting. Other writing prompts for Wayne and his 10-year-old to journal at the same time. How neat.
That's amazing, Wayne. And I think that's such a great idea. There's something on the Scholastic website that you can go to. It's called scholastic.com/myhistory. And it's exactly that, Wayne. The idea is we wanted to create ideas just like to do exactly what you and your daughter are doing, to be documenting their experiences and their feelings and their observations in ways that are, you know, that are interesting and exciting and also empowering. So there are ideas that you can find right there, different questions you can ask, how you can turn your journal into even interview. You might suggest that she interviews some of the doctors, you know, some of the people in your world right now, and include those in the journal, friends. You can, there's a lot of really wonderful ideas. And I just think that is a very powerful experience to do that. First of all, I think you're going to want to look back on, this time and preserve these experiences and feelings and be able to share them. But it's also, I think, for us something, studies show that writing things down and, really focusing on what you're feeling and thinking and putting it in a journal, that can be really helpful in making us feel a little bit stronger. So check that out, Wayne. I think you'll find some good ideas there.
Very cool. Thanks again. And thanks for the call, Wayne. We do appreciate it at 800-642-1234. And you write about some really tragic events, Lauren. People survived the events, things like the Nazi invasion of Germany. People were lucky to make it out alive. We have a listener question about survival.
Hi, this is Priya, and I'm 8 years old. My question is, which of your books told about the hardest thing to survive? Thank you, and bye.
Thanks, Priya. And so, Lauren, we're looking for what you think was the hardest thing to survive.
Hi, Priya. There's so many. My mind is swirling as I think about these characters and what I've put them through in my books. But I think that the event that I would be with, that I think none of us would have wanted to be a part of at all, is the sinking of the Titanic. Because in every other event, in every other natural disaster or battle, there were always a lot of different ways that a person could make it out, a lot of people that could help them, luck, all of those things. But the Titanic, if you didn't get on a lifeboat on that ship, and as we know, famously, there weren't enough lifeboats for all the people, you really had a very slim chance of getting out. And just the idea of being hundreds of miles from land in the freezing cold North Atlantic in water that was 3 miles deep, that is definitely the event that I think was the hardest for people to survive, because there was really only that one option.
And
that
we've
was
got
a great.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. We have Isla from Wanakee who has a somewhat related question. Hi, Isla.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Hi, Isla.
Hi. Hi, Lauren. My name is Isla, and I have a question for you. What is your favorite book out of the I Survived series, and why?
That's a great question, Isla. I always feel like my favorite book is the one I just finished, because that is the one where the characters are the most clear in my mind. And all of the characters I create, even though they're fictional, as I said earlier, they're all very much inspired by real kids who I discover in my research or get to meet. So I feel very attached to all of those characters. And I would also add that the books that are about the events that happened more recently, where I have met the people, like in the California wildfires or in Joplin, Missouri, those are also extremely special to me.
All right, Isla, thank you so much for asking Lauren that question. We really appreciate it. And Lauren stays with us. We're still taking your calls. So if you've got a question, go ahead and pick up the phone with a parent. Dial 800-642-1234. Lauren Tarshis writes about some of the most destructive things that have ever happened in human history. War, grisly attacks, so much more. And she's taking our questions about tough times and how people make it through. And the writing process, of course. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Bultina, and you're listening to The Morning Show. If you're an adult, ask a kid in your life if they've read one of the I Survived books. Chances are you'll get in on a harrowing story about a boy who made super brave choices and beat the odds in some sort of crazy disaster. Tornadoes, wars, grizzly bear attacks. Our guest, Lauren Tarshis, uses real tragedies to show how kids survive the worst, and she's with us right now here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Bultina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking with you. Have you read Lauren's series? Hey, kids, what are your questions about natural disasters or wars or tragedies? Do you feel like you could survive one of them? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And we have Emerson from Green Bay who's ready to ask a question. Good morning, Emerson.
Hi, I'm Emerson and I'm 7 years old. Which book was the most difficult for you to write?
Hi, Emerson. Well, you know, all of them are very difficult for a few reasons. The first reason is that I have to do so much research. And it's really important when I'm doing my research that I'm making sure that I'm using really good sources. I have to track down, sometimes I'll have to read maybe 5 or 6 different books on one topic to make sure that I'm really understanding all the facts. So the research is challenging. And then I do so many drafts to try to get the story to be exciting enough and to move and to help you really connect with the character I'm writing about. And then, of course, there's the fact that so many times I'm writing about events that are often very sad. You know, I'm reading about real people who went through difficult things. But I will share that one of the reasons why I've continued to write the series is that, strangely, having written these books about so many difficult events has made me a more hopeful person, because I see that, you know, people can go through very challenging times like what we're experiencing right now. And people do get through them, and they move forward. So I think that even though sometimes I feel sort of sad when I'm reading about a battle or a tornado strike, in the end, I often feel more hopeful as I learn about how people recovered from these really difficult times.
Thank you so much, Emerson, for calling us this morning and for talking with Lauren. And now Ellen from Sturgeon Bay has a question for Lauren. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi, what question do you have for Lauren this morning?
Are you going to write a book about COVID-19?
Hi, Ellen. You know, I think that I really think that you guys should be the writers of this story. One of the things that I always want kids to understand is that history is really not just facts and dates. It's stories of real people like us. And you guys are going through this big event, this event that people will be talking about for years and years and years. And your kids and your grandkids, they're going to want to know what it was like for you. And, you know, 50 years from now, a writer like me is going to want to know, and your story is going to be really important. So what I'm encouraging kids to do is to keep track of this, you know, to be keeping a journal, interviewing your family members, observing the changes that are happening in your neighborhood, special things that ways you've helped people, ways that people have helped you. I mentioned earlier that we have a website on the Scholastic website. There's something called My History, where you can get ideas for doing this, and you can even share your stories with us if your parents agree. So whether or not I'll write this book, I don't know. Right now, I'm much more interested in supporting you guys in writing about this, and so that you guys, your voices are so important, and I really want you guys to be keeping track of this.
Ellen, thank you so much for giving us a call with that question. And Lauren, we'll make sure that those links to those resources are listed with this program and the audio here on our website. So that's at WPR.org/mornings. We also have 8-year-old Oliver in Madison, who just finished your Destruction of Pompeii book. He wants to know, Lauren, if you had to be a character in one of your books, which one would it be and why? He adds, all your books are disasters. It must be hard to pick someone to be.
Oh my goodness, Oliver, that's such a difficult question. But you know what I think I wish that we all could do, but of course I would want our story to have a totally happy ending. I wish that I could take a ride on a Zeppelin like the Hindenburg. If you guys have seen the movie Up, you'll know that they're also called dirigibles. They're those huge flying machines. They look like blimps, but they're not blimps. They were enormous and luxurious and beautiful. And in the 1920s and 30s, there were, you know, hundreds of people had the chance to fly on them. But then after the Hindenburg disaster in 1937, when there was a terrible explosion, the Hindenburg was landing, that was the last time anyone ever went on one. So this kind of magical way of traveling completely disappeared. So I wouldn't have wanted to be on the Hindenburg, but I would have liked to be able to have that experience.
How neat. Thanks so much for that question, Oliver. And now we have TJ from Central Wisconsin who has a question. Hi, TJ.
Hi.
What are you wondering with Lauren this morning?
I actually have an idea for her for on her next book.
Aha.
I want TJ.
The Corn Belt and the Midwest State Drought in 1980.
Ooh, that is a fantastic idea. There's, you know, your part of the country has had so many interesting things happen, you know, all the way back from when Native peoples were living in Wisconsin and the Midwest, and then the early farmers and what people are going through now. The weather, this is an interesting fact that I've learned. The weather kind of a little north of you guys in Wisconsin, but the weather in the northern plains of America, and you kids can look at a map and sort of know what I mean. It's North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. It is the most extreme weather on the planet. Nowhere else on Earth has winters that get as cold, summers that get as hot, get tornadoes, get blizzards. So I think that's very special that you guys are living in in this very unique part of the country that has a lot of extreme weather like that drought, TJ. It would be a great topic.
Yeah, thank you for the tip, TJ. We'll have to watch and see if that is Lauren's next book, and then we'll know where the idea may have come from. We are talking with Lauren Tarshish, who's author of the I Survived series of books about disasters throughout history, and we are taking calls at 800-642-1234. Got a special shout-out for kids this morning. We are wondering if you've talked with your parents or grandparents about things that they've survived. Maybe you want to talk about what they tell you, or maybe you want to write books when you grow up. What are your questions for the person who has written the I Survived series? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. And Lauren, we touched on a little bit of this when we've been talking about fear and how it plays into the I Survived books. But we have Andy from Madison who emailed us to say that his daughter Lucy is 20 now, but she remembers the I Survived series and kind of avoided them because she was thought that they would scare her. And now she wonders if it was kind of part of general youth culture that led her to believe she would actually be having a lot more encounters with quicksand in her life than she actually has. Lauren, I mean, do you get scared when learning about these events? And how do you make sure that at the end of the day, the books aren't scary because they're about survival?
I know, you know, I have to be honest with you. There are some kids that probably shouldn't read my series. My own daughter, who's now 15, she was fearful. And so I'm the first to say that the books are definitely intense. They always have, you know, the theme of the series really is resilience. And I'm always amazed actually to hear from parents that a lot of kids read the series as ways of learning to cope with fears. So I don't set out to terrify my readers. I set out to my real goal. I have two goals in the series other than telling an exciting story and trying to get kids who don't love to read to want to read. The two goals are I really want kids to leave my series learning a ton. The books are packed with information about science and history and how people lived. So that's number one. And then number two, again, it's that theme of the word resilience. And kids, you probably have heard that term. It means how we can go through difficult experiences and get, you know, and move forward. And it doesn't mean we instantly are no longer afraid or sad. It means that we human beings can go through something difficult, and then they go through a period of time when they feel sad and they have to struggle, and they get help from their friends and their families and their faith and other places, and then we move forward. So that's really the goal, is to help kids learn a lot and then to feel more hopeful maybe about their own ability to go through difficult times.
Hey, Lauren, we've got Jack from Wauwatosa who has given us a call and has a question for you. Hey, welcome to the conversation, Jack.
Thank you.
What do you want to know this morning?
I would like to know how Lauren decides how to decide what to write about.
That's a great question. Well, I definitely get a ton of suggestions from readers. And another thing that happens sometimes is I sort of accidentally stumble upon an idea of a topic that I'd never heard of. And that's what happened when I went to Glacier National Park just to visit and see this beautiful national park in Montana. And I learned about this event called the Night of the Grizzlies. That happened also with the great molasses flood that happened in Boston. I'd never heard of it before. And I was in Boston and heard people talking about it. So I get my ideas from a lot of places. But Jack, I really mostly want to be writing about things that you're going to really want to read about. I want to write things that are going to open your eyes and spark curiosity, so you're going to want to learn more on your own. I want to write about things that are going to make you want to talk to your parents and your grandparents and your friends about them. So I get my ideas from lots of different places, but definitely you guys are my best source.
All right. So, Jack, keep thinking about what you might want Lauren to write about. And maybe, again, that would be an opportunity that you could share with her and see what we could come up with all together here. There's still time for you to talk with Lauren Tarshish. She writes the books called I Survive, and we're talking about real life disasters and how kids take on amazing obstacles and overcome. We've got a line at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our conversation with Lauren continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. We survived. We've talked about wildfires and the Hindenburg, and we're still here telling stories about it. Thanks for tagging along here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and our guide through these disasters is author Lauren Tarshis. She writes books about how kids have made it out of some terrible tragedies, and she's taking calls from especially kids this morning at 800-642-1234. And we've got Aubrey from Madison who wants to talk with us this morning. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
What are you thinking about this morning, Aubrey?
Well, I was wondering how, where did she get the inspiration for the character in I Survived the Eruption of Mount St. Helens?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, creating the characters is always the biggest challenge for me. So that my character, I wanted her to... Just to let people know what the book is about, Mount St. Helens is a volcano in Washington State that erupted in 1980. And I had written about the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, which happened in the ancient Roman times, which is in Italy. And I had written about some other volcanoes around the world too. And it turns out that that we here in the United States have a volcano, Mount St. Helens, that actually it erupted in 1980. And that volcano has taught scientists more than any other eruption in the world. And before the eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1980, scientists had never actually seen a volcano sort of watch the entire eruption cycle from when it first started rumbling to when it started spewing ash and then finally erupted. So when I was writing that book, what I really wanted to do with my character, Jess, is I wanted to make sure that she would be able to share with readers all the magical things that were of what that area was like before the eruption. It was so beautiful. It was almost like a place that you would read about in a fairy tale, these forests and streams and gorgeous lakes that were like mirrors. So that was really my inspiration. I read a lot about what it was like there before the eruption and the people who lived in the little towns. And I wanted my character, Jess, to be able to share that magic with the readers.
Wow. Aubrey, thank you so much for calling and asking about that one. We also have a question from 9-year-old Liam in Madison. Liam's wondering, have you thought about a book on the sinking of the Lusitania?
Oh, hi, Liam. Liam's question is great. And the Lusitania is another really interesting sinking that happened. I think it was just before World War One started, just before America entered World War One was after the sinking of the Titanic. So okay. You kids have to check that yourselves. You can be researchers. But what I think is really interesting is to ask ourselves, why are we so obsessed with the Titanic and other ship sinkings like the Lusitania, or you guys can research the Andrea Doria or the Edmund Fitzgerald. These are all really famous, important shipwrecks, but none of them really capture our imagination like the Titanic. The Lusitania is a great, great topic to explore because it also gets you into researching World War One. So Liam, I love the idea. We've actually written about it in our Scholastic Classroom magazines. There's one of my favorite stories that a friend of mine wrote about the sinking of the Lusitania. So I love the idea. I'm going to put it on my list.
All right, that sounds great. And we are talking with author Lauren Tarshis. She's written the I Survived series of books, which tells us about how kids have survived through these different disasters in history. And we've taken calls this hour. Kids, just a few minutes left. If you have a question for Lauren, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Lauren, a lot of the disasters you write about are major historical events, things like World War II, but there are also some that aren't quite as well known, like the shark attacks of 1916. We actually have a listener named Grayson who's wondering about sharks.
Hi, this is Grayson. I'm 5 years old. How did someone survive a shark attack?
All right, 5 years old. How did someone survive a shark attack? What should Grayson know?
This is something that you should know. Almost most people who encounter sharks survive. because sharks, as shark-obsessed people like me and so many kids know, that sharks don't really mean, in fact, scientists don't even like to use the word shark attack. They use the word shark encounter, because most of the time, a shark is not meaning to attack a human. We, when we swim or surf, our motions in the water resemble the motions of a shark's favorite food, a seal or other sea mammal. So they come up, they see this motion, they see this shadow on the surface, and they take a bite. And they taste us, and we do not taste good to them, and they are not the kind of prey that we're looking for. So they swim away. So swimmers or surfers who are, you know, bitten by sharks, who are able to quickly get help, survive their encounters. So I think that the best way to survive a shark attack is to follow some simple rules about swimming. Never swim by yourself in an ocean. Never swim where have been any seals or sea mammals seen. Never swim with your dog. That is another risk, because the dog's swimming motion is even more similar to that of a seal or a sea mammal. So there are definite steps you can take to make sure you never have to worry about surviving a shark attack.
And Lauren, right now schools are doing distance learning. We don't have kids in classrooms here. And certainly things that have been coming up in normal conversation with my kids have been COVID-19. We want to welcome Willow from Whitewater to the conversation. Hi, Willow. What are you wondering this morning?
I was wondering if you're going to be doing a book about coronavirus.
Yeah. I think, Willow, we talked about that earlier. I think it's such a great question, and it's one that I'm getting from so many iSurvive readers. And the answer is I'm not really sure. But what I am, again, going to encourage all of you guys to do is for you to be documenting this time in history in any way you can, in your journals, by doing video interviews with family members, I have kids who I've heard are making time capsules with their friends over FaceTime. They're putting together records so that 50 years from now, historians will be able to rely on your voices to know what it was like to go through this. But thanks. One thing I just will quickly add to you is in my great molasses flood book, it was sort of a strange coincidence. The molasses flood happened in 1919. And one of the big things that I wrote about in that book was the last pandemic that happened in America, which was almost exactly 100 years ago, the great influenza epidemic of 1918. And you can actually get, it was very scary, but you can also, I found some comfort in reading about that, because again, it was very scary, just like it is now. Oh, people had to stay in. It was exactly like what we're facing now. Schools were closed, libraries, movie theaters. People wore masks. You can Google it and find pictures of kids just like you 100 years ago wearing masks. And people didn't know when it would end, but it did end. And we all, you know, and the country moved forward. So sometimes by reading about something that happened a long time ago, even though it's scary, we can remind ourselves that these things have happened before and we've figured out how to get through them.
Oh, Lauren, thank you so much for that insight and for talking with us for this hour. It's really been a joy.
It's been wonderful, Keely. Thanks so much. And I've loved connecting to all of you wonderful Wisconsin kids.
We appreciate it so much. Lauren Tarshis is the author of the New York Times bestselling I Survived series. They're historical novels about kids living through tornadoes, wars, grizzly bear attacks, you name it. She also writes the Emma Jean Lazarus series. She is senior vice president and editor-in-chief of Scholastic Classroom Magazines, and she has family in Milwaukee. This is just the latest in our series of shows geared toward kids. We're setting aside an hour in these weeks for fun, enlightening conversations. It's often happening on Fridays at 8 o'clock. The only problem, we don't know what to call this segment. That's where you come in. Kids, what should we call these shows that are all about you? No idea is too boring or too crazy. Think about it. And when something comes to mind, send us an email or ask a parent to help you get us this message. You can use the email address kids@wpr.org. That's kids@wpr.org to tell us what you think we should call these public radio programs created with you especially in mind. You can also let us know what you want to talk about in these conversations. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. I'm Keely Boltina. This is A Conversation for Kids That's Looking for a Name here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Happy Friday.